In January of 2008, 207 people stopped in Grand Central Station in New York City. Not stopped on their way somewhere, but 207 people just stopped. A man picking up a sheaf of spilled paper, a woman dialing her cell phone, a teenager tying his shoe stopped at the same time. And for the next 2 full minutes, they remained frozen in place, carefully holding their positions, then again, for no apparent reason, started walking again toward their destinations. During the 2 minutes they stood still, tourists snapped photos, security personnel radioed for instructions, and passersby speculated on what might be happening. It must be a protest, was one popular opinion, but no one knew quite what for. No one had any idea what the frozen people meant, and once they began moving again, the participants themselves offered no explanations. The Times Square stunt, or Grand Central Station stunt, like some 70 others, was the work of the improvisational comedy group called Improv Everywhere. The members of this group are known for bringing comedy to unexpected places. For example, staging a musical in a mall food court, or packing a subway car with 30 people with red hair, offering high fives to everyone going down an escalator. Their projects happen suddenly, without warning, disperse again without explanations, and appear later on the internet in videos. The mission of this group of comedians, they say, is to cause scenes, inserting unexplainable events into everyday situations. They make people stop and think, look around, suddenly more aware that there's more going on during an average day than they suspected when they left home. Rewind some 2,000 years and you find something similar happening to the first members of the Christian church on the day of Pentecost. The doors of the room crashed open when God entered. A violent wind rushed through the room, spilling papers and utensils from tables, disheveling hair, extinguishing lamps and candles. The startled disciples ran to the windows. A storm seemed to be coming. But outside on the street, no one hurried for shelter or struggled to walk against the wind. As impossible as it appeared, the wind swept through their house and nowhere else. Jerusalem was filled with festival goers, celebrating a successful harvest, bringing their offerings to the temple. From the four corners of the earth, they swarmed through the courtyard, jostling and crushing like waves on an ocean. Through the door of the house facing the temple, one of the disciples spotted an Egyptian, ran to him and pulled at his sleeve. In perfect Egyptian, a language he'd barely encountered and certainly never studied, the disciple asked, "May I tell you a story?" The other disciples followed, beckoning Arabs, Asians, Libyans, Romans, and asking them all in their own languages, "Have you heard the news about Jesus, the Savior?" Something new, something unexplained was happening, and no one knew precisely what. Some of the visitors mocked the disciples, saying, "It's the festival, and they're talking gibberish. They're drunk and playing some joke on us all." But Peter, as always the first of the disciples to make a speech, leaped up and cried out, "This is the Lord at work. This is the Spirit of God pouring out on his people, the day the prophets and Jesus both promised." And in an instant, the church went from a group of refugees organizing prayer meetings for themselves to become evangelists and teachers, pointing the way to God's kingdom in 100 different languages. With the arrival of the Holy Spirit and the sudden ability to speak in languages they'd never studied, the disciples suddenly had a very clear idea of the work they were to do. With God's breath in them and God's fire over them, they broke the boundaries of language and nationality and began to speak the truth that everyone in Jerusalem, later everyone in the world, needed to hear. Like a crowd of frozen travelers in Grand Central Station, the Holy Spirit showed the world something unexpected. The Spirit jarred the crowd from its routine, took the disciples past the limits of their human abilities, and transformed that first church into the global movement that even today proclaims the world's only truly good news. Jesus Christ came into human lives to remind us of our brokenness and offer us a way to be connected to God again, living whole and holy lives. After Jesus returned to the Father, the Spirit comes to remind us of what Christ did for us and to teach us how to better understand and effectively share that story and its power to change sinners into disciples, ordinary people into children of God. In the gospel this morning, Jesus promises that the Spirit will teach us to understand things about God that we cannot approach on our own. St. Paul writes to the church in Rome that the Spirit teaches us what to pray for. And just before his ascension, Christ himself told the disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." All of these promises have something in common. They show the Holy Spirit breaking through our human limitations and allowing us to do God's work, not because of some ability, some understanding, some merit of our own, but because God's power has been freed to flow through us. This morning, we celebrate Pentecost and expect no flames over our own heads. We count on no miraculous wind to push us through the doors and into the streets, but we know that God's Spirit still moves among us. N.T. Wright comments, "The wind and the fire are wild, untamable forces. And the experience of the wind rushing through the house with a great roar, and the fire coming to rest on each person present, must have been both terrifying and exhilarating." Of course, there are many times later in this book of Acts, as there are many times in the life of the church, when the Spirit works softly and secretly, quietly transforming people's lives and situations without any big noise or fuss. It's important to notice what the Spirit did at Pentecost in the reading today. Jesus' disciples, now called apostles, or those who are sent, together in Jerusalem during one of the Jewish festivals, were suddenly granted the ability to speak languages they'd never learned. And these were the languages of all the visitors to the temple. With the prompting of the Holy Spirit, these apostles used their new tongues to teach the crowd about Jesus, about his life and its meaning for everyone who heard them speak. A miracle, certainly, but for all its exciting details, a very practical one. This was not a miracle that gave the apostles a chance to show off, but a gift that lets them plunge into the work of making more disciples, as they had been commanded. A friend of my father's, who serves as a missionary in Brazil, regularly experiences the power of the Holy Spirit translating God's words to God's people. You see, while Dave is a terrific storyteller in English, his church conducts most of its services for a Spanish-speaking congregation. And in addition, most of his hearers are new Christians, unfamiliar with all but the most basic ideas of the church. With his rudimentary Spanish language skills, he carefully constructs his sermons both so the congregation can understand them and so that he can deliver the unfamiliar words. Still, he explains his experience in the Spanish service as, "I stand up in the pulpit and hand the microphone to God. When he's done speaking, he gives it back to me." The congregation there in Sao Paulo keeps growing because its minister depends on the Holy Spirit to make the impact, to do the work he can't accomplish with his own skills. The Holy Spirit works to make something beautiful out of our feeble attempts to be faithful disciples. So writes youth minister and author Mike King, "The Spirit leads us to truth, unfolding the kingdom of God before us at a level we and our kids can understand. The Holy Spirit transforms us when we say yes to Jesus' invitation to come and follow him. And he breathes life into our missional purpose. Transformation in life is not possible, certainly not sustainable, without the inner working of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit still shakes the church the way he did when the disciples first saw flames over their heads, first felt wind propelling them out into the city to spread the gospel. And God's Spirit still works quietly, day by day, to mold us into the perfect forms God calls us to be. Our catechism teaches us that the evidence we see of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives is that we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and are brought into love and harmony with God, with ourselves, with our neighbors, and with all creation. A simple-sounding list, but none are possible without God's intervention. Our harmony with God is disturbed by our sins, by our things done and left undone. Harmony with ourselves is challenged by a consumer culture that spreads the twin lies that we are not good enough and do not have enough. Harmony with our neighbors is damaged by pride, by envy, sometimes by borrowed possessions returned to us damaged. But the Spirit speaks, not only reminding us of Christ's command to love God and love our neighbor, but teaching us how, day by day. Old preachers tell new preachers that if you give a sermon to 100 people on a given Sunday, you've preached 100 different sermons, and there's some of the Holy Spirit in that. When in the Bible you read a familiar passage and find yourself noticing something new, experiencing new thoughts about it, the Spirit is there with you. And should you be given words someday, in your own language or in any other, the Holy Spirit will guide you in using them. Improv Everywhere offers an invitation to everyone who has seen one of their projects in New York. Through the group's website, they provide information on public pranks involving dozens to hundreds of people, and anyone can join in. The people in charge of the group will tell you where to show up, what to bring, and what to do once you get there. And once you've been given the instructions, you're a part of a stunt that may stop traffic or create headlines. And a similar thing happens to Christians at Pentecost. We are given the language, presented with the instructions, given the tools to do the work. All that is required is to be open to God's Spirit, to be willing to let it flow, to be willing to let it power us. On Pentecost, we come to worship not expecting miraculous signs or strange new abilities, but with a spirit as unpredictable, as powerful, as the one Jesus promises to send us. It's dangerous to assume we won't experience them. People who run across musicals in the food court or crowds of people inexplicably frozen in place look for more happenings like those. Once you've seen one, you believe more readily that they're possible. After hearing about Pentecost, then, today's Christians ought to ask, again in N.T. Wright's words, have our churches today got enough energy, enough spirit-filled new life to make onlookers pass any comment at all? Riding back with my father's friend Dave, I talked about callings to ministry and explained that I don't consider myself much of an evangelist, not the sort who can walk up to people and begin to speak about what I believe. I consider myself more of a teacher, more someone who can speak to people who already possess a faith, who already know the basics of the story and are looking for detail, looking for nuance, looking for additional dimensions. Well, Dave didn't even let me get to the end of the first sentence of all that before he interrupted, and he said, Isaac, remember, the Holy Spirit within you is not limited. Don't consider yourself limited if you consider yourself in touch with the Spirit. Christ gives us a challenging call. He promises that our work is to testify, but he gives us a powerful ally, the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, who knows Christ's story better than we do, who knows the words that need to be spoken to the people around us, who knows what needs to be spoken in our own lives, to our own souls. We're given the task to testify, the power to do it, and the world in which to work And even if there is no wind today, I pray that we will all feel the Spirit pushing us through our doors, pushing us from this place and into God's world. Amen.